Well, despite many, many people telling harrowing stories about Australia's aged care system during public hearings these past 2.5 years, the Royal Commission's report delivered yesterday has made no adverse findings against any aged care provider. It has also declined to regulate profit in the sector, which Professor Cathy Eagar says is going to be crucial if public confidence in the use of taxpayer dollars in the sector is to be restored. Professor Eagar is the director of the Australian Health Services Research Institute at the University of Wollongong, and she says the Royal Commission has delivered a smorgasbord, not a roadmap for reform. We spoke earlier first about the lack of findings against providers.
I found that quite shocking. I was expecting to see a series of recommendations to take action against providers. After all, the Royal Commission has had literally over 10,000 written submissions and 7,000 telephone submissions. The Royal Commission essentially concluded that these were system problems rather than failures of individuals or organisations, and therefore you need a systems approach. But the health system learnt a long time ago that you need to both take a systems approach to fix the systems issues, as well as deal with fundamental failures of neglectful care and dangerous care. And I don't think they've done that. And I do believe that there will be many people who really poured their hearts out at the Royal Commission who are going to inevitably feel that they weren't heard. And I'm not sure what they were told, but I do feel that the onus is now not just on the government but on all of us to make sure that we don't let those people down going forward.
Well, you're quite critical of what we've seen in this final report, and your assessment seems to suggest that you're not optimistic that we're going to get what those people deserve. Do you think it provides a coherent way forward?
I think there's two issues. One is, did the Royal Commission give the government a roadmap? No, they didn't. They gave them a smorgasbord of options, and everybody in the whole sector is going through today and picking out the recommendations that they like, and they're saying, I like this one or I like that one. But there isn't actually a coherent roadmap for government. The other side of that is the government understands, I believe, based on the commentaries we've heard in the last 48 hours, that they need to respond regardless. And indeed, we've had the government say that for the last 2 years. We understand this sector is a mess. We got on the front foot. We organised a Royal Commission. We're waiting for that Royal Commission, and now we will take action. There is enough low-hanging fruit in the Royal Commission report for the government to get on with it. They need to do the new act. They need to mandate staff ratios. They need to fix the home care waiting list. And they need to do things about developing and better paying the workforce. We didn't need a $90-odd million Royal Commission to tell us that, but maybe it takes a $90 million Royal Commission to get action on those things.
And if the government does act on all of those things, will it deliver a better system, a more humane and caring system where people aren't dying of hunger in some cases, for example?
Look, I think it will develop that system. I think what we need, you know, at a basic level, we need an aged care system that is three things. It has to be safer, it has to be kinder, and it has to be fairer. And more funding, more staffing and more regulation will all help with that. So in the short term, in terms of the day-to-day experience of your mum or dad or my brother or whoever it is in aged care, things can be made better. I'm less optimistic that the big system changes will be required, are made, that means that in the next 10 to 20 years, we've got a sustainable developing aged care system.
The big system changes, I mean, these are fundamental questions that a lot of people actually ask when they talk about aged care. For example, should it be structured as a public good or should it be a competitive market? The Royal Commission hasn't dealt with those things?
I don't believe that they did. And in fact, I think the fundamental disagreements between the two commissioners that have been apparent really reflect a lack of agreement on those issues. And so just to retract, the Royal Commission has 148 recommendations. There's about 40 of them where they don't agree. And the fundamental issue is that Commissioner Pagoni, reading between the lines, sees the government as the problem and Commissioner Briggs sees the government as the solution. And there isn't a compromise position when those two views are so polarised.
And so, given that the government has really staked its reputation, if you like, on this, I mean, the Prime Minister yesterday leaned very heavily on his and others' personal experience of aged care, talked about the values-based questions, about how we, as a society, treat our elders. How confident are you that we are going to get something better and more humane out of this?
I think there are low-hanging fruit we can get, and indeed we have to get. It is just not an option to reject those recommendations. I think the bigger, more fundamental questions haven't been addressed adequately in the Royal Commission. For example, I proposed to the Royal Commission that they should recommend a no-profit care policy, that providers can make a profit out of accommodation and out of serving, you know, better food or offering wine with dinner, but that the money that they get basically from taxpayers should be spent on care. And the Royal Commission did not recommend the regulation of profit. I cannot see how we can ask taxpayers to pay more for aged care if there are no limits on the amount of profit making you can make in the sector.
Do you think the government is inclined to head in that direction?
I don't have a sense of that at this stage, but I do think that they're the issues that the government is going to have to grapple with. This government has prided itself, and we heard the Prime Minister say it yesterday, that they're not inclined to raise taxes. And yet the sort of money, we did a back of the envelope calculation yesterday, the Royal Commission didn't cost all of its proposals, but our sense is that we're talking about $6 billion recurrent. That's a lot of money that we have to find from somewhere if we were to implement all these various policies.
And would your proposal of a no-profit care policy help to find that big amount of money?
It certainly wouldn't find that big amount of money. I think what it would do is to start to restore community confidence in the aged care sector, because there's a perception, right or wrongly, that all providers are gouging profit out of the sector. I actually think that's wrong. But we have to deal with that perception, because we're going to be asking the general community to pay more to improve the aged care sector. And they have to believe, and it has to be the case, that the money we're asking them to pay actually goes on improving care and doesn't go out the door again as profit to a provider.
And on the question of a levy similar to the Medicare levy to fund aged care, is that a sensible proposal, do you think?
Look, I think it is. I mean, I had actually argued to the Royal Commission that we should look at amalgamating the aged care sector and the health sector and funding the whole thing out of a Medicare levy. Because I think one of the perceptions we need to understand about aged care, the majority of older people are not in the aged care sector. People are in the aged care sector because they develop health conditions in old age, not because they're old. And we need to actually better integrate healthcare and aged care if we're to actually meet their needs. And if we actually understood the need to integrate health and ageing, I don't think we would have the level of abuse and neglect we've currently got in the system.
And what about the sector itself? Do you think there is the will to make deep change? Because often when proposals for reform are put forward, like staffing, you know, higher staffing ratios, there are, you know, explanations from the sector as to why that's not possible. Do you think they're now willing to make change?
I still believe that the sector thinks that the solution is to throw more money at it and I'll fix it. And I think that's one of the things that does have to change. I believe that there's been a level of collusion between government and providers for many, many years where the government consults the industry, and the industry is a very small number of peak bodies purporting to represent consumers and a very large number of providers, and that the provider view has largely dominated. We actually have to change that.
Cathy Eager, thank you very much for speaking with us today.
Thank you very much.
Health services expert Professor Cathy Eager from the University of Wollongong.